Luke chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they, meaning Jesus and his 12 disciples, that's 13 of them, went, they enter into a certain village, that's Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Good move, Martha. Let me ask you a question. Let's just stop right here. If the Lord Jesus would come to your house this afternoon or tonight after church and knocked on your door, would you let him in? Or some things you need to get rid of and clean up in the house? Would you let him in?
Sure.
Amen. So we won't stop there. I'll let your preacher hit that one when he comes back. Amen? So that's but something to think about. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Isn't that what we're doing right now?
Right.
Heaven is the throne of God and earth of his footstool. If earth is his footstool and we're still on earth, then we're at the feet of Jesus right now hearing his word. This message is not about me. This message is all about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
This day is all about Jesus. This church is all about Jesus. And I know your pastor is all about Jesus. Amen? This country, if we were all about Jesus, we wouldn't be in a mess that we're in. But one day that's all going to change when the Prince of Peace comes himself. I feel like preaching just a little bit this morning. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Boy, that kind of describes a pastor's job, much serving. Sometimes it gets a little overwhelming. That's why we need a balance in our life and ministry, but sometimes we don't know how to do that. And God will shut us down a little bit. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. We're going to pray, ask the Lord to bless the message. Then we'll finish up after the video. So please pray for me and pray with me this morning. Before we finish inside the Word of God, let's go to the throne of grace. Amen? Thank you. Father, thank you for this day. I'm so blessed, Lord, to be here behind the sacred desk of this pastor. Thank you for allowing me this privilege, this honor to be here to share your Word. Lord, I'm nothing more than a bread boy for you. That's it. That's all I am. I'm just a bread boy for Jesus, a preacher boy for you. So unworthy, undeserving. But, Lord, you've called me in the ministry. You found me faithful, and you put me where I need to be. Now, this morning, I'm right here with these dear people. So I pray, God, please have your way. Hide me behind the cross. Exalt yourself this morning, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. So I want to see a couple things. So, you know, life could get real busy. Especially now, pretty soon, we're going to get into Thanksgiving and then Christmas, and it gets kind of crazy with shopping, and people go crazy. And sad to say, so many people get in so much debt around Christmas. They think buying, 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 and get just crazy expensive things and, you know, go crazy with the credit cards, then you're up to here in debt. That's not what Christmas is all about. I mean, there's nothing wrong with gift exchange. There's nothing wrong with that. But, man, you need to pray about what God really wants you to give to somebody and don't go crazy about it. Amen? I mean, I love Christmas. You know, it's all about Jesus, but it shouldn't be all about going to major debt. Amen? I don't understand how these people get up 4 o'clock in the morning and stand online to get the latest cell phone or the latest something on whatever. And it's just the craziest thing. My son works for Verizon and just said, Dad, you wouldn't believe the people that camp out at the door waiting for these new cell phones, $1,200 cell phones. There's nothing wrong with the one they got, but they got to have it. Amen? I'll tell you what I got to have this morning. I got to have a touch from heaven this morning. Amen? So anyway, let's here's the thing. Too much activity often hides the presence of God and the peace of God in our life. We can get, there's a vexation of the spirit. We can quench the spirit. We can get troubled. We need to really be careful, amen, about getting so busy about the things of this world. And then our hearts, you know, we need to be sensitive to the Lord and to the leading of God, especially when we see what's going on in our world today, in our country. Man, we need God's direction, his blessing. So I want to take a look at these two sisters. I want to look at the difference between these two. And as we take a look at Mary and Martha, I want you and I to look at our lives and compare our lives to these two. Where do we fit in? First, let's take a look at their focus. Where was Mary and Martha's focus? All right, here we go. And it came to pass, they went and he entered into a certain village, Jesus. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Well, you know where Mary's focus was. She was at the feet of Jesus, looking right at the master and listening and hearing his word. So where was her focus? It was on the Lord and on his word. Where's our focus this morning? It should be on the Lord and on His Word. Not what's going on out there. Forget about out there. Let's focus in here, up there, because one day we're going up there. Amen. And so that's the key. Her focus was on Jesus and on His Word. And I got a feeling if anything but nothing else happened during this pandemic of being shut down, we should have been more time to be like Mary. At His feet, listening to His Word. Man, I've been hearing my preacher friends all over the country and watching their Facebook and live streaming and getting to hear devotions. And I mean, I got my family listening to me and friends and high school people listening to me online. I mean, Satan thought he was going to cripple the church. No, we're going to do Mark 16:15. During COVID-19, we're going to do Mark 16:15. Amen? Here I am in the middle of my living room on a Tuesday and Saturday going live, Facebook Live, Tuesday Night Live, and whatever. I'm preaching to a phone in my living room. Come on. This is not what God called me to do. It's just the craziest thing you ever did. But guess what? People are listening to the gospel. People are getting saved, reaching family members and friends. God even blessed. I even got to lead a Jewish high school classmate to the Lord. Then I got to baptize a preacher. But then it gets better than that. I got to lead her 85-year-old Jewish mom to the Lord. Amen. God's good! Wait. Come. God is good! And all the time. All right, you're getting with it. You're warming up. All right, you're warming up. Good. Now, this is Sunday, right? Isn't this the Lord's Day? Yeah, all right. People make more noise in the football stadium than they do in the church of God. Amen. So now we see Mary and her focus on Jesus and His Word. Man, that's where we need to be. But look at Martha. Martha was cumbered about much service. She was distracted with much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, does thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Ah, Martha, where was her focus? It was right on her. It was all about her. It wasn't about Jesus. It wasn't about her, His Word. Oh, no. No, Martha's focus was all about her. She was having a pity party all by her lonesome self in the kitchen because she was troubled, she was cumbered, she was distracted by much serving. And folks, if you're not careful, we could actually be just like Martha. Too much of this, too much of that, too much texting, Facebook. With me, I love the outdoors. I love to hunt. And so, you know, too much hunting, yeah, you could kind of neglect your body and your devotion time, you know, kind of fit the Lord in. And when it's convenient for you to have devotions and need to get out in the woods real early, so I'll have my devotions at a better time when it's more convenient for me. No. He's coming first. Amen? Right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing every day. But as far as Martha's concerned, her focus was all about her. And folks, before I got saved, my life was all about me. Before you got saved, your life was all about you. But after we got saved, our life is all about Jesus. Amen? That's how it should be. And so we see their focus, the problem of much serving. You know, Psalm 46:10 is one of my favorite verses, and also my special godly lady that God put in my life, that's one of her favorite verses, is Psalm 46:10. It says, be still. By the way, that's a command. Be still and know that I am God. Mary was still. She was at His feet listening to words. She wasn't moving around. She wasn't about much serving. She was focused on Jesus. Amen? And to be still means to be quiet, shut everything down, shut it all out of your life, and be still and know He's God. Because you know why? He says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted among the nations. Well, who's supposed to exalt Him? We are. We're supposed to let our light so shine among men. We're supposed to give Him glory as they see our good works. And also, may I add, to hear the gracious words about the love of the Savior coming out of our mouth, telling people how to get to heaven. Amen? We were in the preacher's office this morning, and he got a phone call. I guess someone asked him, are you open? You having church? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Whoever it was. And praise God. People want to know if you're open. Amen. Yes. So hopefully they'll be coming here at 11 o'clock. Praise the Lord. So their focus. You can see a big difference there. You know, John 4:23 says, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and truth. And this morning, church, I want to let you know that we have an audience of one. One. He's watching. He sought for you to come to His house this morning to worship Him, and you're right where you need to be, and your focus is right. Amen? All right, second thing I see is their fellowship. Their fellowship. Martha, for whatever reason, was isolating herself in the kitchen. Amen? She was practicing social distancing when she didn't have to. And she probably was wearing a mask too. Who knows? I don't know. Martha. So she's over there in the kitchen. And Mary's enjoying the fellowship. You got 12 disciples. But Jesus is there. That's when you can have fellowship. Amen? And she's there enjoying that, the 12. And her brother Lazarus is there. So that's 13. Jesus 14. She's 15. And they're having church. There's a sweet time of fellowship because it says right here, but Martha was coming about much serving and came and said, Lord, does that not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So evidently Mary was helping her, preparing a meal. That's how you know they're Baptist, amen? So the preparing a meal, and all of a sudden, all the commotion and all the fellowshipping kind of quieted down. It got quiet in that room, and all she could hear was the voice of her Savior. She takes a break from Martha. She knows when to take a time out. Amen? She takes a break from Martha and she goes. And where does she go? She sits as close as she can get to Jesus, right at his feet, looking up at him, and she's going to listen to his word. The master's there. How often does he get to come to their house? How often they get to have church? How often they get to have that kind of fellowship? How often can her focus be on him and not on all the work she had to do? Not Martha. She was neglecting. She was isolated. Look, we still got to practice separation, right? Aren't we a separated, sanctified people? Spirit-filled? We're supposed to be separate from the world, but we're not supposed to be isolating ourselves. We're not supposed to be camouflaged Christians blending in. We're supposed to be blaze orange, standing out, speaking out for Jesus. Amen! But here we see Martha's got a problem. She's isolating herself from the fellowship that she should be enjoying with Jesus and the church that was in her house. Amen. I love fellowship. I love it. I love the fellowship I have with your pastor right over the phone. And just a quick little meeting we had at that pastor's fellowship. And then just this morning, and then during the revival. And I just love Christian fellowship. Amen. Love it. And by the way, once you're saved, you have to have fellowship. It's essential. Do you understand that? Church is essential. Fellowship is essential. This book tells me what's essential. Amen? Yeah. In fact, that word essential means absolutely necessary, extremely important. I'm telling you, fellowshipping with the church of God on the Lord's Day is extremely important. Right. It's highly essential. Amen? Yeah. God tells us don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, when you're not feeling good and you're sick, yeah, you stay home. You got to do what you got to do. But, you know, there are times that you need to do that. We understand that. But some people miss church for sinful reasons. Amen? And so we see the fellowship, and we can see here that it just was different. You know, we have three enemies. We know Satan is the god of this world. He was a created angel, Lucifer. He's not God. He doesn't know everything. He can't be in all places at the same time. He could only be in one place at one time. Amen? Where do you think he is right now? I think he's probably somewhere in some of these voting machines. That's probably where he's at. I might as well just stay right where I want to be right here because we don't need to have an Ahab and Jezebel in the White House. Amen?
Right. Good.
Right. I like it. Yep.
That's good.
Because I know where their focus is.
Yeah. Come on.
I know where their fellowship is.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Some of you may be upset, but I'm sorry. I just got to preach it. Amen? You can get over it. Amen. I love you. You love me? Say amen. If you don't, I'll meet you outside after the service. I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. Amen. My focus of my fellowship has completely changed. For over 20 years, I was senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Germantown, Ohio. God's got a great sense of humor, sending this an Italian, ex-Catholic gangster from New York to redneck hillbilly Germantown, Ohio. I didn't even know what a Buckeye was. Raviolis, I know. Buckeye, I didn't know what it was. But I love peanut butter, but I love Buckeyes now. Amen. Yeah, I'm a peanut butter. Look, if you don't like peanut butter, you're just not right with God. That's all there is to it. You're just not. You're just not. So anyway, now my focus and my fellowship is not just with my church, First Baptist Church of Germantown, and my congregation that God's given me the responsibility of, but now God's given me a vision and a heart for world missions to reach the gypsies for Jesus. Completely changed my focus. But my main focus is still on Jesus. But my ministry focus now is worldwide missions. And now my fellowship is different too, because now I'm no longer just in my church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, missions and revivals. No, now my fellowship is with all the churches of America, and now even in different parts of the world. So God began changing my life as I was following Him. He changed my focus, and He changed my fellowship. But my priority, my focus, my fellowship will always be Jesus first. Because when you're right with Him, you're right. When you're not right with Him, you ain't right. You want to know why there's a lot of troubled marriages? Because a lot of times husbands and wives are not right with the Lord. And when they're not right with the Lord, they're not Spirit-filled, this ain't happening. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, I mean, that's really important, especially for married couples. Firstly, the first three, the love, joy, peace of God. Boy, if those three are pretty evident in your life and your marriage, you're going to be blessed. But if those three, if there's an issue there, because there's an issue there, you're going to be on rocky ground. Amen? A lot of times it's sad, but sometimes couples, just their focus is off. And their fellowship is off. And that's what mainly happens. So it's amazing how God, I cannot stress enough, stressing this time that we're living in. We're living in very distressful times. I believe it's perilous times. I believe when the Bible says evil men shall wax worse and worse, you're seeing it. Amen? And I remember on September 25th, 2019, it was a Wednesday night service. Walter Stevens, who's the president and converted gypsy of Roma, was there at our church. He was going to give the charge and challenge me and our church. I had the leadership team of my church laying hands on me, commissioning me, sending me out through my church there that Wednesday night, the 25th of 2019. Now look, I cannot stress enough how it's important for us to spend quality, quiet time with the Lord every morning and every night. You need to begin your day with Jesus and end your day with Jesus in the Word, on your knees, in His presence. So here I am in the book of Hebrews. I'm in chapter 13. I get to verse 17. And I sense this kind of Shekinah glory showing up when I'm on my knees. Doesn't happen often when you get that special touch from God. Preacher knows what I'm talking about. But when you get it, you don't want it to leave. Amen? And you begin to weep. Because God's coming down. The God who created all things, who met with Moses up on that mountain. Yeah. It's coming down. Yeah. And he's going to be with you.
Yeah, sure.
And he's going to touch you with that unseen nail-scarred hand.
Yeah.
And then he's going to give you what you need for the day.
Sure.
Because without him, we can do nothing.
Right.
And I'm so thankful Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Oh,
right. I don't know where I'd be without him.
Yeah.
I know what kind of life I was leading.
Yeah.
Wicked as can be. You name it, I did it. But thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. That's our story. That's my life. I'm a blood-bought saint of God. And so are you. And so that morning I get to verse 17 and the Lord's just showing up and he says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account. I said, whoa, that was my responsibility right up, and it will be till 11:59 tonight, September 25th. That's your pastor's responsibility. This is not something that he picked. God chose him to be your pastor. He's a gift from God. You understand that? And so is his wife and family. And so this is God's man. This is God's shepherd. This is God's overseer for this flock. And one day he's going to stand before God and give an account for every soul in this church. You got that? Say amen. Just like me, I'm going to give an account for my church one day. Although I'm not pastoring now, I will give an account. And so shall every pastor who pastors a church will give an account. So I'm saying, okay, this kind of describes who I am now, but that's not, and I can't pastor my church anymore, Lord. I'm too broken. I'm too full of grief. That's why God transitioned me out, because losing my wife August 1st, 2018, for a whole year I cried morning, noon, and night. Where are you, God? What are you doing? I, I don't want to serve you anymore. I can't pastor anymore. I can't help these people. I need help. I'm too broken. You want me to work at Cabela's, Bass Pro, Walmart? I can't do this anymore. I can't. I'm full of grief. Then God moves me into the ministry of evangelism in Roma. But then I get to the second part of this verse, and it says this, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. You said, Brother Ted, it's just a coincidence. Oh, no, it's not. No, you just happen to... This is the God of heaven, the same one who spoke to Moses up on that mountain, the same one who parted that Red Sea, was the same one that spoke to me that morning to confirm the transition, my new focus, my new fellowship, my new ministry, and why he was moving me into this ministry, because I was doing it with grief and not with joy. Now I do this with joy. Amen? Now I've got the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. Amen? Now I'm just as crazy as I used to be. Amen? Amen. Especially since God put a wonderful, godly Proverbs 31 lady in my life. Amen. Now, I'm going to show you my focus, my new focus. I'm going to show you a short little video, and then I'm going to close the message in the last point. And after you see this video, you're going to realize why I need to get over there. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Every lost person, whether it's across the street or around the world, is a mission field. And every saved person is a missionary. You got that? Say amen. So whether you like it or not, you are a missionary. Amen? And God will help you. He will. All right, ready to play this video.
Able to give me this. But then she said to me, Giza, Well, look in the other closet over there. And when I opened the closet, it was accordion. I was so happy. And I began to play accordion, became a professional musician, playing at the weddings in Romania. And sometimes the weddings would go 2-3 nights in a row. To say that many times I would get drunk and just fight and play music, and that was my life, to get drunk and to play music. And then I began to gamble and become an adult man. My life was very confused. I met a gypsy woman, beautiful girl, her name Monica, and we fell in love and got married. I'm ashamed to say I was not a good husband. All the money I made playing the accordion at weddings and special occasions, I would spend on alcohol. Then I'd come home and argue with Monica because there was no food to eat. It was my fault I spent the money. And Monica got very discouraged, very unhappy. And then something happened to her. One day she came home very religious, praying all the time, reading the Bible. She told me, Gita, I became Christian. It changed my life. And she said, Gita, you need to be Christian. And I laughed inside. And my life was a turmoil. And one day my oldest son, Gitsy Shore, it means Gita Junior. And Gitsy Shore said to me, Papa, if you don't become Christian and don't help to heal our family, I want you to leave us. We can't take any more the arguing and the fighting, and you're abusing mom and the family. And then I began to search. I had a little job at post office as a security watcher. And late at night, I would stay there at the post office, and I would pray and drink. And then there was a man who worked there who was Christian. And I think on purpose, he would leave Bible open. And I read wherever he had the Bible open. And yet God began to speak to my heart. But I had so many problems in my life. I was such an evil man. I didn't think that God could really forgive me. Then one day, to satisfy my wife so that we wouldn't fight anymore, she said, come to prayer meeting. I said, what do you want me to do at prayer meeting? She said, whatever we do, you do. So to keep peace, I went with Monica. We came to a little house. This house was a place that the gypsies used to go to pray. Nobody lived in this house. It was only a place to pray. So we got down on our knees in a circle. One person prayed and another person prayed. And God began to work in my heart in that prayer time. And I began to cry out to God in my prayer. And I said, God, I'm very confused. One person says if you eat pork, you can't go to heaven. Another person says if you don't go to church on Saturday, you can't go to heaven. I'm very confused. Please send me someone to tell me the truth of the gospel, because I'm confused. He said, amen. I got up. I opened my eyes. And before me was this man, two men. They speak to me in gypsy language. And they speak to me about Jesus in my own language. I never heard anybody tell me about God in my own language. I didn't know that God could speak gypsy. They told me they were Americans. They were missionary. They were Baptist. They told me how I could be saved and be forgiven of my sins. And there in that room, I knelt down and I prayed. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart and he could change me. And God changed me. He made me a new man. My life is wonderful in the Lord, and my marriage is strong. And I couldn't leave that man who came. He stayed with us about 2 weeks. And wherever he went, I went with him. He stayed in a broken down boarding house. Very terrible, dirty place. We took off our shoes. And all night we talk about Jesus. He became like my father in the Lord Jesus. And I wouldn't leave him. My wife and I were supposed to go to Hungary and work. We found big jobs in Hungary, but we didn't go. We wanted to be with that missionary. And it was within those days, I remember God began to work in my heart, and He called me to be a preacher. And you know the man who talked to me about Jesus. He helps our people. And together we tell other gypsies about Jesus. We have a church. It's called Manna Baptist Church. And I'm pastor there now.
Amen.
And I give God all the glory.
Amen. So I just want to show you how the Lord has changed my focus and my ministry and my fellowship. And I'm so excited about what the Lord's doing now. Let's finish our message here. And the man you saw there was Walter Stevens. He is the president of Roma. He's a converted gypsy. He was told that there was a certain group of gypsies meeting in this village in Romania. And a little boy, when they got into the village, he asked, where are the gypsies? And the little boy led them to the house where they were praying. And after they got done praying, they all stood up, and Gitza looked at Walter and, you know, said, you know, who are you? And Walter said, I'm the man that you just prayed for. I'm here to tell you the gospel. You talk about miraculous. That's Acts. That's the book of Acts right there. Amen? And so I'll be with Gitza here in May for 2 weeks. I'll be helping out. We have feeding houses there, Bible institutes, churches. And I'm excited about this two-week mission outreach I'm going to be doing there as well. In January, I'll be in Honduras, so I'll be all over. That's my new focus. That's my new fellowship. But Jesus is still my main focus. And Jesus is my main fellowship, because we can get real busy with much serving and be just like Martha. Amen? All right, let's finish up. So we see the focus is different. Martha was all about herself, right? Mary was all about Jesus. Okay, so the focus was completely different. The fellowship, Martha wasn't having any. She was isolated, separating herself from the church that was in her house, but especially from not hearing Jesus and being at his feet like her sister. She wasn't having any fellowship. Mary was having fellowship. And here's the thing. Martha, you had the Prince of Peace in your house, and you had no peace in your heart or mind. Why? Because your focus wasn't right and your fellowship wasn't right. That's why you had no peace. Amen? Well, we see the focus, we see the fellowship. And because of the focus and the fellowship was a problem with Martha, it affected how she was feeling. Yeah, let's take a look at the third and final point. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was distracted. That word cumbered about means distracted. She was overwhelmed with care. She was upset. And she came to him and said, Lord, does that not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Wait a minute, Martha, time out. You're accusing Jesus of not caring? You are falsely accusing the Son of God, the Messiah, God the Son, your Savior, of not caring. If there's anybody in your house that cares for you more than anybody in this world, it's Jesus. And he'll prove that in a little while as he hangs on the cross and dies for your sin. See, when the focus is on yourself and you're not having fellowship, you get kind of a little crazy in your attitude. Amen? A little sinful. And now she's accusing him of not caring. You see, when your focus is off and the fellowship ain't right, how you feel? Yeah. Well, wait. It doesn't stop there. I think it gets worse. Look what else he says. And bid her therefore that she help me. Wait a minute, Martha. Now you're telling Jesus what to do. No. No, you don't tell Jesus what to do. He tells you what to do. He's Lord. He's King of Kings. He's your master. Amen. On my phone, I had the GPS voice, you know, I had a lady tell me where to go, where to drive, and only one lady tells me what to do. That's my 5-year-old granddaughter, Evelyn. Amen? She tells Pop, and that's good. So I changed the voice. I got this Australian guy talking to me. Hey, mate, and I love it. Amen. But here's the thing. Martha is so messed up in her heart. She's falsely accusing Jesus of not caring. And then she's now telling him what to do. See how dangerous when your focus is on yourself, when you're not having fellowship like you're supposed to, how it affects how you're feeling? Because Jesus is going to know. Look what he says to her. Look what he says. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. So he knew she was nervous and troubled. How could you be so nervous and troubled when you got Jesus in your house? Mary wasn't troubled, was she? She wasn't careful, nervous. She wasn't having a conniption fit. Why? She was at the feet of Jesus, focusing on him, hearing his word, enjoying the fellowship, and Mary is feeling pretty good. Just like you should be right about now. Amen? And so look what he says to her. Verse number 42. But one thing is needful. You got that? Just one. One thing. The problem with Martha, she was coming about with much serving, much, many. Okay, you got that? But Jesus said, wait a minute, let's take a time out, folks. Here's the one thing that you need in your life to become an M&M Christian. You say, why M&M Christian? Doesn't say taste and see that the Lord is good? All right, so how are people going to taste and see? By your sweet spirit. That's how they're going to see it. Martha didn't have a sweet spirit. Mary had a sweet spirit, not Martha. Amen. Why? Her focus and her fellowship was affecting how she was. She's sour. She had a sour spirit. Amen. Now look what he said. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So did Mary get up and start arguing with her sister? No. She didn't even have to defend herself. Jesus took care of that. Amen? So here's the last thing I'll share with you as I close the message. Need to be an M&M Christian. When you see an M&M package next time, I want you to think about Mary and Martha. Got that? But I want you to think about Martha. She was a little nutty. Okay? I'm a little nutty in a good way, but she was definitely had a problem with her attitude. Okay? All right? Mary was sweet, just a sweet spirit, man. Well, nothing nutty about her at all. Just sweet. And you and I need to have a sweet spirit. Because when they say taste and see that the Lord is good, well, you can taste it from the good word of God. Amen? But also take a taste of us. Amen? See how sweet we are, sweet spirit. But here's my life right now. I am now mission-minded. Worldwide mission-minded. That's my focus. That's my fellowship. And I'm feeling pretty good about it. You know why? Because Matthew 28 and Mark 16:15 are my marching orders. He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm going to do it. With his help. Thank you. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I know that I could do, we could do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And Father, we need to be strengthened now more than ever in the inner man, in the soul, in the spirit. And our minds need to be protected from the onslaught of the enemy. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being who you are. I thank you especially for the gift of salvation and the promise that you said nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Thanks to listeners like you, IBC has had over 100,000 views on our YouTube channel. If you haven't already, subscribe today. And as always, thanks for listening.